At their front stood Queen Melina, an amply fed woman in layered silks of garish colors. She wore a cape trimmed in rare spotted fox. Her hair was as long as Kaelin's. At first, Richard couldn't figure out what she was holding, but when he heard the yapping, he realized it was a small dog. As they approached, everyone but the queen dropped to a knee in a deep bow. When they stopped, Richard stared openly. He had never seen a queen before. Zed gave him a sideways kick. He dropped to one knee and, following Zed's example, bowed his head. The only two who did not kneel or bow were Kaelin and the queen. No sooner was he down than everyone was back up, with him coming to his feet last. Richard guessed that the two women must not have to bow to each other. The queen stared at Kaelin, who, with her head held high, didn't break her calm countenance, and didn't even look at the queen. No one spoke a word. Kaelin lifted her hand a little, only about a foot away from her body. With her arm held unbending, her hand held limply in place. The queen's expression turned darker. Kaelin's didn't change. Richard figured that if anyone had blinked, he would have heard it. The queen turned slightly to the side and handed the little dog to a man in a bright green sleeved doublet and black tights with red and yellow striped pantaloons. There was a whole gaggle of men behind the queen dressed in similar fashion. The dog growled viciously and bit the man's hand. He did his best not to notice. The queen lowered herself to both knees in front of Kaelin. A young man in plain black clothes immediately came to the queen's side, holding a tray out in front of himself. He bowed, head bent impossibly low, holding the tray out to the queen. She took a small towel from the tray, dipped it in a silver bowl of water, and used it to wipe her lips. She returned the towel to the tray. The queen took the mother confessor's hand lightly in her own, and kissed it with her freshly cleaned lips. "Fidelity sworn to the confessors, on my crown, on my land, on my life." Richard had heard few people lie as smoothly. Kaelin at last moved her eyes. She looked down at the queen's bowed head. "Rise, my child." More than a queen, indeed, Richard thought. He remembered teaching Kaelin to make a snare, to read tracks, to dig roots, and felt himself turning crimson. Queen Melina laboriously pushed herself to her feet. Her lips smiled. Her eyes didn't.
"We have not requested a confessor."
"Nonetheless, I am here." Kaelin's voice could have frozen water.
"Yes, well, this is grand. Simply grand."
Her face brightened.
"We will have a banquet." "Yes, a banquet. I will send out runners with invitations immediately. Everyone will come. I'm sure they will be most pleased to dine with the Mother Confessor. This is quite an honor."
She turned, indicating the men in the red and yellow pantaloons.
"These are my barristers."
The men all bowed deeply again at the introduction.
"I don't remember all their names."
She held her hand out to two men in gold robes.
"And this is Silas Tannick and Brandon Gadding, the chief advisers to the crown."
The two gave a nod.
"And my Minister of Finance, Lord Rondell. My star guide, Lady Kylie."
Richard didn't see a silver-robed wizard among the queen's entourage. The queen waved her hand at a shabbily dressed man in the back.
"And James, my court artist."
From the corner of his eye, Richard saw Zed stiffen. James kept his lecherous eyes on Kaelin as he gave a shallow bow. He was missing his right hand at the wrist. The oily smile he gave her made Richard reach for his sword instinctively before he realized what he was doing. Without looking over, Zed's hand grabbed his wrist and took the hand away from the sword. Richard glanced around at the other people to see if anyone had noticed. No one had. They were all watching the Mother Confessor. Kalin turned to the two of them.
Zedekus Zorander, Cloud Reader, trusted advisor to the Mother Confessor.
Zed bowed dramatically.
And Richard Cipher, the Seeker, protector to the Mother Confessor.
Richard imitated Zed's bow.
The Queen looked at him, lifting an eyebrow with a sour look. Pretty pathetic protection for a Mother Confessor.
Richard made no change in his expression. Kalin remained unruffled. It is the sword that cuts. The man is unimportant. His brain may be small, but his arms are not. He tends to use the sword too often, though. The Queen didn't seem to believe her. Behind the royal party, a small girl came gliding down the stairs. She wore a pink satin dress and jewelry that was too large for her. She strode up beside the Queen, flipping her long hair back over her shoulder. She did not bow.
"My daughter, the Princess Violet. Violet, dear, this is the Mother Confessor."
Princess Violet scowled up at Kalin.
"Your hair is too long. Perhaps we should cut it for you."
Richard detected the slightest smile of satisfaction on the Queen's face. He decided it was time to elevate her level of worry. The Sword of Truth came out, sending its distinctive ring around the huge room, the stone amplifying the sound. With the sword point an inch from Princess Violet's nose, he let the anger of it rage through him, to make his words more dramatic.
"Bow to the Mother Confessor," he hissed, "or die."
Zed acted bored. Kalin waited calmly. No one else had eyes as wide as the princess as she stared at the sword point. She dropped to her knees and bowed her head. Standing back up, her eyes went to him, as if asking if the bow was all right.
"Be careful how you use that tongue," Richard sneered. "The next time I will separate it from you."
She nodded and walked around her mother, standing on the far side of her. Richard sheathed his sword, turned, bowed deeply to Kalin, who didn't look at him, and returned to his station behind her. The demonstration had the desired effect on the Queen, her voice becoming a bright sing-song.
"Yes, well, as I was saying, it is grand having you here. We are all simply delighted. Let us show you to our finest room. You must be tired from your journey. Perhaps you would like to rest before dinner, and then after dinner we can all have a nice long—"
"I am not here to eat," Kalin cut her off. "I am here to inspect your dungeon."
"Dungeon?"
She made a face.
"It's filthy down there. Are you sure you wouldn't rather—"
Kalin started walking. "I know the way." Richard and Zed fell in behind her. She stopped and turned back to the Queen.
"You will wait here,"
her voice was like ice, "until I am finished." As the Queen began bowing her assent, Kalin strode off with a swish of her dress as she turned on her heels. If Richard hadn't known her as well as he did, the entire encounter would have scared the breath out of him. In fact, he wasn't sure it hadn't. Kalin led them downstairs and through rooms that became less and less grandiose the deeper they went into the castle. Richard was amazed at the size of the place. "I was hoping Gilla would have been there," Kalin said. "Then we wouldn't need to do this."
"Me too," Zed grumbled. "You just make a quick inspection. Ask if anyone wants to give a confession, and when they say no, we go back up and ask to see Giller."
He gave her a smile.
"You've handled it well so far, dear one."
She returned the smile to the two of them.
"And Richard," he cautioned, "you keep away from that artist, James."
"Why?" "He might draw a bad likeness of me."
"Wipe that grin off your face. You stay away from him because he might draw a spell around you."
"A spell? Why would you need an artist to put a spell on someone?"
"Because there are many different languages in the Midlands, though the main one is the same as is spoken in Westland. To be spelled, you have to be able to understand it. If you can't speak their language, you can't put a spell on them. But everyone can understand a drawing. He can draw a spell on almost anyone. Not Cailin or me, but he can on you. Stay away from him."
Their footsteps echoed as the three quickly descended stone steps. The walls, far below ground, leaked water and were covered in places with slime. Cailin indicated a heavy door to the side. "Through here." Richard pulled it open by the iron ring, the strap hinges creaking. Torchlight lit the way down a narrow stone corridor, with a ceiling so low he had to stoop to avoid hitting his head. Straw covered the wet floor and smelled of decay. Near the end, she slowed to a walk and approached an iron door with a grill in it. Eyes peered out at them when she stopped. Zed leaned around her.
"The Mother Confessor here to see the prisoners," he growled. "Open the door."
Richard could hear the echo of a key turning in the lock. A squat man in a filthy uniform pulled the door inward. An axe hung from his belt next to the keys. He bowed to Cailin, but looked to be annoyed by it. Without a word, he led them through the little room just inside the door, where he had been sitting at a table, eating, and down another dark hall to another iron door. He pounded on it with his fist. The two guards inside bowed in surprise. The three guards took torches from iron stanchions and led them down a short hall and through a third iron door that they all had to duck through. Flickering torchlight pierced the darkness. Behind cross-hatched, flat-iron bars to each side, men pushed themselves back into the corners, shielding their eyes with their hands from the sudden light. Cailin spoke Zed's name quietly, indicating that she wanted something. He seemed to understand, and took a torch from one of the guards and held it up in front of Cailin so all the men in the cells could see her. There were gasps from the darkness when they recognized who she was. Cailin addressed one of the guards. "How many of these men are sentenced to die?" He stroked his round, unshaven jaw.
"Why, all of them."
"All of them," she repeated. He nodded.
"Crimes against the crown."
She pulled her gaze away from him after a moment, turning to the prisoners. "Have all you men committed capital offenses?" After a moment of silence, a hollow-faced man came and gripped the bars. He spat at her. Cailin swept her hand back to stop Richard before he had a chance to move.
"Come to do the queen's dirty work, confessor. I spit on you and your filthy queen."
"I do not come here on behalf of the queen. I come here on behalf of the truth."
"The truth? The truth is none of us has done a thing, except maybe speaking up against the new laws. And since when is speaking up against your family starving or freezing to death a capital crime? The queen's tax collectors came and took most of my crops. They barely left enough to feed my family. When I sold the precious little I could spare, they said I was overcharging people. The prices of everything are going wild. I'm doing nothing more than trying to survive. Yet I am to be beheaded for price gouging. These men in here with me are all innocent farmers or tradesmen or merchants. We are all to die for trying to earn a living from our work."
Cailin looked to the men in the corner. "Do any of you wish to make a confession to prove your innocence?" There were hushed whispers. A gaunt man in the darkness stood, came forward. His frightened eyes looked out at them from the gloom. "I do. I have done nothing, yet I am to be beheaded. My wife and children left to fend for themselves. I will give a confession." He pushed his arm through the bars, reaching for her. "Please, Mother Confessor, take my confession." More men stood, coming forward, all asking to give a confession. Soon they were all at the bars, begging to give a confession. Cailin and Zed exchanged a grim look. "In my whole life I have seen only three men ask to give a confession," she whispered to the wizard.
"Cailin?"
The familiar voice came from the cell on the other side, from the darkness.
Kaelin gripped the bars with spread fingers. Sidin? Sidin! She spun to the guards. These men have all given the Mother Confessor their confessions. I find them to all be innocent. Open the bars. Now, hold on, I can't be letting all these men out. Richard drew the sword in an arc as he spun. The sword crashed a swath through the iron bars, and shards of hot steel and sparks filled the air. He spun around and kicked the iron door shut behind the startled guards. He had the sword at their faces before a single one of them managed to clear an axe from his belt. "Open the bars, or I will slice you in half and take the keys from your belt that way." The shaking guard with the keys jumped to do as he was told. The door swung open and Kaelin rushed in, going back into the darkness. She came back holding a frightened Sidin in her arms, holding his head against her shoulder. She whispered in his ear, calming him. Sidin jabbered back in the Mud People language. She smiled and told him things he smiled back at. As she came out, the guard was opening the other cell door. She held Sidin in one arm, and with her free hand she grabbed the guard's shirt collar. "The Mother Confessor finds all these men innocent." Her voice was as hard as the iron around her. "They are to be released upon my order. You three are to escort them to safety, outside the city." He was a head shorter than she. She pulled his face closer to hers. "If you fail in any way, you will answer to me." He nodded vigorously. "Yes, Mother Confessor, I understand. It will be done as you say, on my word, on your life," she corrected. She released him. The prisoners poured out of the cells, falling to their knees around her, crying, taking the hem of her dress in their hands, kissing it. She shooed them away. "Enough of that. Be on your way, all of you. Just remember, confessors serve no one. They serve only the truth." They all swore they would remember, and followed the guards out. Richard saw that many of their shirts were shredded or streaked with dried blood, their backs covered with welts. Before they entered the room where the queen waited, Kaelin stopped and put Sidin into Zed's arms. With her hands she smoothed his hair, then her dress, and with a deep breath, her face.
"Just keep in mind what we are here for, Mother Confessor," the wizard said.
She gave him a nod, put her chin up, and strode into the room with the queen. Queen Melina waited where they had left her, her entourage still with her. The queen's eyes caught on Sidin.
"I trust you have found everything in order, Mother Confessor?"
Kaelin's face stayed calm, but her voice had a cold edge to it. "Why is this child in your dungeon?" The queen's hands spread wide.
"Well, I'm not sure. I believe I remember he was found stealing, and was put there until his parents could be found, that's all. I can assure you it was nothing more than that."
Kaelin regarded her coolly. "I have found all the prisoners innocent, and ordered them released. I trust you are pleased to find I have saved you from executing innocent men, and will see to it that their families are compensated for the trouble this error has caused. If an error such as this is repeated, the next time I return I will not only empty the prison, I will also empty the throne." Richard knew he wasn't seeing Kaelin putting on a show to get the box. He was seeing her doing her job. This was why the wizards created the confessors. This was who she was, the Mother Confessor. The queen's eyes opened wide.
"Why, yes, of course. I have some overly ambitious army commanders, and they must have done this. I had no knowledge of it. Thank you for saving us from making a grave mistake. I will personally see to it that it is taken care of, just as you wish, which, of course, is no less than I would have done myself had I—"
Kaelin cut her off. "We will be leaving now." The queen's face brightened.
"Leaving? Oh, what a shame.
We were all so looking forward to the honor of your presence at dinner. I'm so sorry you must go.
I have other pressing business. Before I go, I wish to speak with my wizard.
Your wizard?
Giller, she hissed. For the briefest of moments, the Queen's eyes flicked toward the ceiling.
Well, that would not be possible.
Caelan leaned closer to her. Make it possible. Right now. The color drained from the Queen's face. Please believe me, Mother Confessor, you wouldn't want to see Giller in his present condition. Right now, Caelan repeated. Richard loosened the sword in its scabbard just enough to catch her attention.
Very well. He is upstairs.
You will wait here until I am finished with him. The Queen looked at the floor.
Of course, Mother Confessor.
She turned to one of the men in the pantaloons.
Show her the way.
The man led them up the grand stairway to the top floor, and down several halls, then up a spiral stone stairway to the top room in a tower, finally stopping with a weak look at a heavy wooden door on the landing. Caelan dismissed him. He bowed, glad to leave. Richard opened the door. They entered, and he closed it behind them. Caelan gasped and hid her face against Richard's shoulder. Zed pressed Sedine's face to his robes. The room was destroyed. Completely. The roof was gone, as if it had been blasted away, letting in the sunlight and sky. Only a few of the exposed beams remained. A rope hung from one of the beams. Giller's naked body swung slightly as it hung, upside down, from the end of the rope. A meat hook driven through the bone of his ankle. Were it not for the open roof, the stench would have driven them from the room. Zed handed Sedine to Caelan, and, ignoring the body, began walking slowly around the circular room, a thoughtful frown on his face. He stopped and touched splinters of furniture that had been driven into the walls, as if the stone were made of butter. Richard stood, transfixed, staring at Giller's body.
"Richard, come look at this,"
Zed called to him. The wizard reached out and ran a finger through a gritty black area on the wall. There were two black areas, in fact. They stood next to each other. Two blackened spots, in the shapes of men standing at attention, as if the men had gone and left their shadows behind. Just above each elbow, instead of the black, was a band of gold-colored metal melted into the stone of the wall. Zed turned, raising an eyebrow to him.
"Wizard's fire."
Richard was incredulous.
"You mean these were men?"
Zed nodded.
"Burned them right into the wall."
He tasted the black smudge on the end of his finger. He smiled to himself.
"But this was more than just wizard's fire."
Richard frowned. Zed pointed at the black on the wall.
"Taste it."
"Why?"
Zed rapped Richard's head with his knuckles.
"To learn something."
With a grimace, Richard ran his finger through the black grit, as Zed had done.
"It tastes sweet."
Zed smiled in satisfaction.
"This is more than simple wizard's fire. Giller gave his life energy to it. He gave his life into the fire. This was a wizard's life fire."
"He died, making this wizard's fire?"
"Yes, and it tastes sweet. That means he gave his life to save another. If he had done it only for himself, for instance, to spare himself the torture, it would taste bitter. Giller has done this for another."
Zed went and stood in front of Giller's body, swishing the flies away, twisting his own head around, trying to turn it upside down for a look. With a finger, he pushed a knotted cord of gut out of the way, so he could see Giller's face. He straightened.
"He has left a message."
"A message?" Kaelin asked. "What message?"
"There is a smile on his face. A smile frozen in death, meant to tell anyone who knows of such things that he did not give up what was wanted."
Richard stepped closer as Zed pointed to the opening cut across the abdomen.
"See here, the way this cut goes? This is done by one who practices the magic called anthropomancy, the divining of answers by the inspection of living entrails. Darken Rawl makes his cut very similar to the way his father did."
Richard remembered his own father, and how Rawl had done this very thing to him. "You are sure it was Darken Rawl?" Kaelin asked.
Zed shrugged. "Who else? Darken Rawl is the only one who would have been unharmed by a wizard's life fire. Besides, this cut is his signature. Look here, see the end of the opening? See the way it starts to turn?"
Kaelin turned her face away. "What of it?"
"That's the hook. At least it should be. It should turn back in a hooked cut. While incantations are spoken, the hook is cut, binding the questioned to the questioner. The hook forces them to give up the answer to the question asked. But see here? The hook is begun, but it is not finished."
Zed gave a sad grin.
"That is when Giller gave his life to the fire. He waited until Rawl was almost done, then, at the last instant, denied him what he sought. Probably the name of who has the box. Without life in them, his entrails could tell Rawl nothing."
"I never thought Giller capable of such a selfless act," Kaelin whispered. "Zed," Richard asked fearfully, "how could Giller have done it? Taken the pain of having this done to him, and managed to leave a smile on his face?" Zed gave him a hard look that ran a chill up Richard's spine.
"Wizards must know about pain. They must know it very well indeed. It is to spare you that lesson that I would happily accept your choice not to be a wizard. It is a lesson few survive."
Richard wondered at the mysterious secret things Zed must know, but had never shared with him. Tenderly, Zed cupped a hand to the side of Giller's face.
"You have done well, my student. Honor in the end."
"I bet Darken Rawl was livid," Richard said. "Zed, I think we had better get out of here. This looks a little too much like bait on a hook to me." Zed nodded.
"Wherever the box is, it is not here. At least Rawl does not have it. Yet."
He put his hands up.
"Give me the boy. We need to leave as we came in. We don't want to tell them why we were really here."
Zed whispered something in Sidine's ear, and the boy giggled, hugging the wizard's neck. Queen Melina was still white, fumbling with the corner of her cape, as Kaelin strode purposefully but calmly up to her. "Thank you for your hospitality," Kaelin said. "We will be leaving now." The queen bowed her head.
"Always a pleasure to see the Mother Confessor."
Her curiosity overcame her fear.
"What of Giller?"
Kaelin appraised her coolly. "I regret you have beaten me to him. I only wish I had had the pleasure of doing it myself, or at least witnessed it being done. But the results are all that matter." "Disagreement, was it?" The color returned to the queen's face.
"He stole something that belonged to me."
"I see. Well, I hope you got it back. Good day." She started to move, then stopped. "And Queen Melina, I will be back to check, and make sure you have brought your overly ambitious commanders back in line, and that they are not mistakenly executing innocent people." Richard and Zed, holding Sidine, fell in behind Kaelin as she turned and left. Richard's thoughts swirled desperately through his head as he walked woodenly next to Zed, following Kalin through all the bowing people and out of the city. What were they going to do now? Shota had warned him that the Queen wouldn't have the box for long. She had been right. Where could it be now? He certainly couldn't go back and ask Shota where it was. Who could Giller have given the box to? How were they going to find it? He felt desperately depressed. He felt like giving up. He could tell by the slump in Kaelin's shoulders that she felt the same way. Neither of them spoke. The only one talking was Zadine, and Richard couldn't understand him. "What's he saying?" he asked Zed.
"He says he has been being brave, just as Kaelin had told him, but he is glad that Richard with the temper has come to take him home."
I guess I know how he feels. Zed, what are we going to do now? Zed gave him a puzzled look.
How should I know? You're the Seeker.
Great. He had just done his best, and they still didn't have the box. But he was expected, somehow, to find it. He felt as if he had run square into a wall he hadn't known was there. They kept walking, but he didn't know where to go next. The setting sun was golden among golden clouds. Richard thought he could see something ahead in the distance. He moved up and walked next to Kaelin. She was watching it, too. All the people had disappeared from the road for the night. It wasn't long before he knew what it was. It was four horses galloping toward them. Only one had a rider. Chapter 40 Richard touched the hilt of the sword for reassurance as he watched the four horses raising a cloud of dust that turned golden in the setting sun. Soon the sound of thundering hooves reached him. The lone rider bent over his mount, urging him on. Richard lifted the sword a little in its scabbard, checking that it was clear, then let it drop back. As the darkly clad rider approached, Richard realized he looked familiar.
"Chase!"
The boundary warden brought the horses to a skidding halt in front of them. He looked down as the dust drifted away.
"You all look to be well."
"Chase, is it ever good to see you?" Richard grinned. "How did you find us?"
He looked insulted.
"I'm a boundary warden."
He thought that was explanation enough.
"Find what you were after?"
"No," Richard admitted with a sigh. He saw little arms clutching at Chase's sides. A little face peeked around the black cloak.
"Rachel? Is that you?"
Her face came farther out, a grin spreading on it.
"Richard, I'm so happy to see you again. Isn't Chase wonderful? He fought a gar and saved me from being eaten."
"Didn't fight him," Chase grumbled. "Just put a bolt through his head, that's all."
"But you would have. You're the bravest man I ever saw."
With a pained frown, Chase rolled his eyes. "Isn't she just about the ugliest child you have ever seen?" He leaned around and looked at her.
"I can't believe a gar would even want to eat you."
Rachel giggled and hugged her arms to his sides.
"Look, Richard." She put a foot out toward him, showing off a shoe. "Chase brought down a buck. He said it was a mistake because it was too big, so he traded it to a man. But all the man had to trade were these shoes and this cloak. Aren't they wonderful? And Chase says I can keep them."
Richard grinned at her. "Yes, that is indeed wonderful." He noticed Rachel's doll and the bundle with the bread nestled between her and Chase. He also noticed her eyes going to Sadine, as if she had seen him before. Kaelin put a hand on Rachel's leg. "Why did you run off? You scared us with worry for you." Rachel flinched at Kaelin's touch. She hugged one arm to Chase and thrust a hand in her pocket. She didn't answer Kaelin's question, but looked instead toward Sadine.
"Why do you have him?"
"Kaelin rescued him," Richard said. "The Queen had him locked up in the dungeon. That's no place for a child, so she took him out." Rachel looked down at Kaelin.
Wasn't the queen mad?
I don't allow anyone to hurt children, Kaelin said. Not even a queen.
Well, don't just stand there staring. I brought you all horses. Mount up. I figured I'd catch you today. I have a wild boar roasting back at the place you stayed last night, just this side of the Calisidron.
With one hand on the saddle and the other arm holding Sadine, Zed leapt to a horse.
Wild boar? What kind of fool are you, leaving a wild boar roasting unprotected? Anyone could just come along and take it.
Why do you think I want you to hurry? The place is filthy with wolf tracks, though I doubt they'd come near a fire.
Don't you dare hurt that wolf, Zed warned. He's a friend of the Mother Confessor.
Chase cast an eye to Kaelin, then to Richard, before turning his horse and leading them into the setting sun. Richard was heartened by having Chase back. It made him feel once again that anything was possible. After she had mounted, Kaelin took Sadine, the two of them talking and laughing as they rode. At the camp, Zed wasted no time before checking the roasting boar and pronounced it fit to eat. He shifted his robes and sat down, waiting with a grin on his wrinkled face for someone with a knife to carve dinner. Sadine, with a grin frozen on his face too, leaned against Kaelin after she sat down. Richard and Chase started carving up the boar. Rachel sat close to Chase's side, watching him, keeping an eye to Kaelin, her doll in her lap, and the loaf of bread wrapped in the cloth at her hip. Richard cut a big piece and handed it to Zed.
So what happened? With my brother, I mean.
Chase grinned. When I told him the things you told me to tell him, he said that if you were in trouble, he was going to help. He pulled together the army, and we sent most of them into defensive positions along the boundary, with the wardens commanding them. After the boundary came down, he refused to wait behind. He led 1,000 of his best men into the Midlands. They're all bivouacked up in the Rangshada right now, waiting to help you.
Richard had stopped carving, frozen in astonishment.
Really? My brother said that? He came to help? And with an army?
Chase nodded. He said if you're in this, then he is too.
Richard felt a pang of regret that he had doubted Michael, and elation that his brother would drop everything to come help.
He wasn't angry?
I thought sure he would be, and give me grief over this. But he only wanted to know about you, what risk you were at, and where you were. He said he knew you, and if you thought it was this important, then he did too. He offered to come along, but I wouldn't let him. He's with his men, probably waiting in his tent right now, pacing back and forth. I have to tell you, it surprised me, too.
Richard's eyes were wide in wonder. My brother and 1,000 of his men in the Midlands come to help me. He looked at Kaelin. Isn't that wonderful? She only smiled at him. Chase gave him a stern look while he carved.
For a while I thought you were finished, when I saw your trail going into Agadon Reach.
Richard looked up.
You went into the Reach? Do I look stupid? You don't become head of the Boundary Wardens by being stupid. I started thinking of how I was going to tell Michael you were dead. Then I found your trail coming out of the Reach.
His brow wrinkled together.
How did you manage to come out of the Reach alive?
Richard gave him a grin. I think the good spirits...
Rachel screamed.
Richard and Chase spun with their knives. Before Chase could use his knife, Richard stopped him.
It was Brophy.
Rachel! Is that you, Rachel?
She took her doll's foot from her mouth. Her eyes were wide.
You sound like Brophy.
The wolf's tail swished back and forth.
That's because I am Brophy.
He trotted over to her.
Brophy! How come you're a wolf?
He sat on his haunches in front of her.
Because a kind wizard changed me into a wolf. That was what I wanted to be, and he changed me.
Giller changed you into a wolf?
The breath caught in Richard's throat.
That's right. It's a wonderful new life I have.
She threw her arms around the wolf's neck. Brophy licked her face as she giggled.
Rachel, Richard said,
You know Giller? Rachel hugged an arm around Brophy's neck. Giller's a nice man. He gave me Sarah. She gave a fearful look to Kaelin. You want to hurt him. You're the queen's friend. You're mean. She pushed against Brophy for protection. Brophy gave her face a long lick.
You're wrong, Rachel. Kaelin is my friend. She is one of the nicest people in the world.
Kaelin smiled and held her hands out to Rachel. Come here. Rachel looked to Brophy, who gave her a nod that it was all right. She went with a pout on her face. Kaelin took Rachel's hands in hers. You heard me say something mean about Giller, didn't you? Rachel nodded. Rachel, the queen is a bad person. I didn't know how bad until today. Giller used to be my friend. When he went to live with the queen, I thought it was because he was bad too, and was on her side. I was wrong. I would never hurt Giller, now that I know he is still my friend. Rachel turned her eyes up to Richard. She's telling you the truth. We're on the same side as Giller. Rachel turned to Brophy. He nodded too, that it was the truth. You and Richard aren't friends of the queen? Kaelin laughed a little. No. If I have my way, she will not be the queen much longer. And as for Richard, well, he drew his sword and threatened to kill the princess. I don't think that makes him friends with the queen. Rachel's eyes got big. Princess Violet? You did that to Princess Violet? Richard nodded to her. She said some bad things to Kaelin, and I told her that if she did it again, I'd cut off her tongue. Rachel's mouth dropped open. And she didn't say to chop off your head? We are not going to let them chop off any more heads, Kaelin said. Rachel's eyes filled with tears as she looked to Kaelin. I thought you were mean, and that you would hurt Giller. I'm so happy you're not mean. She put her arms around Kaelin's neck, hugging her tight. Kaelin hugged her back just as tight. Chase leaned toward Richard.
You pulled a sword on a princess? Do you know that's a capital offense?
Richard gave him a cool look. If I had had the time, I would have put her over my knee and spanked her, too. Rachel giggled at that. Richard smiled at her. You know the princess, don't you? The laughter left her. I'm her playmate. I lived in a nice place with other children, but after my brother died, the queen came and picked me out to be the princess's playmate. Richard turned to Brophy. He was the one. The wolf nodded solemnly. So you lived with the princess. She's the one who cut your hair all crooked, isn't she? She hits you. Rachel nodded with a pout. She's mean to people. She's starting to say to chop off people's heads. I was afraid she would chop off my head, too, so I ran away. Richard eyed the loaf of bread she kept at her hip. He squatted down next to her. Giller helped you run away, didn't he? She was near tears. Giller gave me Sarah. He wanted to run away with me. But then a mean man came, Father Rawl. He looked real mad at Giller. Giller told me to run and to hide until winter, then to find a new family to live with. A tear ran down her cheek. Sarah told me he couldn't come with me anymore. Richard glanced again at the loaf of bread. It was about the right size. He put his hands on her shoulders. Rachel, Zed and Kaelin and Chase and I are fighting against Dark and Rawl, so that he won't be able to hurt people any more. She turned her head back to Chase. Chase nodded. He's telling you the truth, child. You tell him the truth, too. He tightened his grip on her shoulders. Rachel, did Giller give you that loaf of bread? She nodded. Rachel, we were going to Giller to get a box. A box to help us stop Dark and Rawl from hurting people. Will you give it to us? Will you help us stop Rawl? Her watery eyes looked at him.
Then, with a brave smile, she picked up the bread and handed it to him.
"It's in the loaf of bread. Giller hid it in there with magic."
Richard threw his arms around her, nearly hugging the breath out of her. He stood, hugging her to him, and spun in circles until she giggled.
"Rachel, you are the bravest, smartest, prettiest girl I have ever known."
When he set her down, she ran to Chase and crawled into his lap. He mussed her hair and put his big arms around her as she smiled and hugged him. Richard picked up the loaf of bread in both hands. He held it out to Kaelin. She smiled and shook her head. He held it to Zed.
"The Seeker found it," Zed smiled. "The Seeker should open it."
Richard broke the bread open, and there inside was the jeweled box of Ordon. He wiped his hands on his pants, pulled the box out, and held it up to the firelight. He knew from the Book of Counted Shadows that the glittering box they saw was only a covering for the real box underneath. He even knew from the book how to remove the cover. He put the box in Kaelin's lap. As she picked it up, she gave him the biggest smile he had ever seen. Before he even knew what he had done, he had leaned over and given Kaelin a quick kiss. Her eyes went wide, and she didn't kiss him back. But the feel of her lips shocked him into realizing what he had done. "Oh, sorry," he said. She laughed. "Forgiven." Richard hugged Zed as they both laughed. Chase laughed, watching him. Richard could hardly believe that just a short time ago he had almost given up, had no idea what to do next, where to go, or how to stop Rawl. And now they had the box. He set it on a rock, where they could all see it in the firelight, while they had the best dinner Richard could ever remember. Richard and Kaelin told Chase some of what they had been through. To Richard's delight, Chase was disturbed to learn that he owed his life to Bill, back at South Haven. Chase told them some of his own stories of bringing an army of 1,000 men across the Rang Shada. He enjoyed telling drawn-out tales of the foolishness of bureaucracy in the field. Rachel cuddled in Chase's lap while she ate and he talked. Richard thought it was interesting that she chose the most fearsome among them for comfort. When at last he finished his story, she looked up and asked, "Chase, where should I go to hide until winter?" He regarded her with a glower. "You're too ugly to be left to wander about. A gar would eat you sure." That made her laugh. "I have other children. They're all ugly, too. You'll fit right in. I guess I'll take you to live in my house."
"Really, Chase?" Richard asked.
"I've come home enough times and had my wife present me with a new child. I think it's about time I turned affairs about on her."
He looked down at Rachel, who clung to him as if he might float away.
"But I have rules, you know. You have to follow my rules."
"I'll do anything you say, Chase."
"Well, there you go. That's the first rule. I don't allow any of my children to call me Chase. If you want to be a member of my family, you have to call me Father. And about your hair, it's too short. My children all have long hair, and I like it that way. You'll have to let your hair grow out some. And you'll have a mother. You'll have to mind her. And you'll have to play with your new brothers and sisters. Do you think you can do all that?"
She nodded against him, unable to talk as she hugged him, tears glistening in her eyes. They all excitedly ate their fill. Even Zed seemed to have had enough. Richard felt exhausted, and at the same time full of energy, to finally have the box in their hands. They had done the hard part. They had found the box before Rawl. Now they had only to keep it from him until winter.
"We have been weeks in this quest," Kaelin said. "The first day of winter is a month away. Earlier today that seemed scarcely enough time to get the box. Now that we have it, it seems forever. What shall we do until it is finished?"
Chase spoke up first.
"We have all of us to protect the box, and we have 1,000 men to protect us. When we get back across the border, we will have many times that."
She looked at Zed. Do you think that's wise? We would be easy to find, 1,000 men, I mean. Would it not be better to hide somewhere by ourselves? Zed leaned back and rubbed his full stomach.
We could hide better by ourselves, but we would also be more vulnerable if discovered. Perhaps Chase is correct. There would be a lot of protection among a force that large, and if we had to, we could still leave them and go to cover.
We'd better get an early start, Richard said. It was barely light when they were off, the horses to the road, Brophy to the woods, shadowing them, or at times scouting ahead. Chase, bristling with weapons, led them at a trot, Rachel holding him tight. Kaelin, back in her forest garb, and with Sadine sitting at her lap, rode next to Zed. Richard had insisted that Zed carry the box. It was wrapped in the cloth that held the bread before, and tied to the horn of his saddle. Richard followed behind, watching everything as they rode quickly into the cold morning air. Now that they had the box, he felt suddenly vulnerable, as if somehow everyone would know just by looking at them. Richard could hear the waters of the Calisidron before they rounded the curve to the bridge. He was glad to see the road deserted. Chase spurred his horse to a gallop as he approached the big wooden bridge, the rest of them giving a heel to their horses to keep pace. Richard knew what Chase was doing. The boundary warden had always told him that bridges were the bane of the unwary. Richard watched in every direction as the other three galloped across in front of him. He saw nothing. In the exact center of the bridge, at a full gallop, he ran solidly into something that wasn't there. Stunned, Richard sat up, dumbfounded at finding himself on the ground and seeing his big roan running with the other horses, then stopping with them as they halted and turned. The others looked back in confusion as Richard, still dazed and bewildered, rose painfully to his feet. He brushed himself off and started limping to retrieve his horse. Before he reached the center of the bridge, he smacked into it again. It felt like walking into a stone wall, but there was nothing there. He found himself sitting on the ground again. The others were around him this time as he got to his feet. Zed was off his horse, holding its reins in one hand and helping Richard with the other.
"What's the matter?"
"I don't know," Richard managed. "It felt like I ran into a wall right in the center of the bridge. I must have just fallen off, that's all. I think I'm all right now." Zed looked around, led him forward with a hand on his elbow. Before going far, he hit it again. But this time he had been moving slowly and wasn't knocked from his feet, only back a few steps. He took one slow step forward and came in contact with it again. Zed gave a serious frown. Richard put his hands out, feeling the solid form of the smooth wall that wouldn't let him pass, but would let the rest of them through. The touch of it made him feel dizzy and sick. Zed walked back and forth through the invisible barrier. The wizard stood where the unseen wall stood.
"Walk back to the end of the bridge, then walk to me."
Richard felt the lump on his forehead as he walked back to the end of the bridge. Kaelin jumped off her horse, next to Zed. Brophy came up beside her to see what the trouble was. This time, as he walked, Richard held his hands out in front of himself. Before he was halfway back, he made solid contact and could go no farther, having to back away from the sickening feeling at its touch. Zed rubbed his chin.
"Bags!"
The rest of them came to Richard, since he couldn't come to them. Zed led him forward again. When he made contact, he backed away a little. Zed took Richard's left hand.
"Touch it with your other hand."
Richard did as he was told until the sick feeling made him withdraw his hand. Zed seemed to feel it, through Richard. By now, they were at the foot of the bridge. Every touch of the thing had made it move back the way they had come.
"Bags and double bags!"
What is it? Richard demanded.
Zed took a glance to Kalin and Chase before he spoke.
It's a keeper's spell.
What's a keeper's spell?
It's a spell drawn by that filthy artist, James. He's drawn it around you, and then when you touched it the first time, it activated the spell. Once you touch it, it pulls tighter like a trap. If we don't get it off you, it will shrink until you are all that's in it, and then you won't be able to move.
Then what?
Zed straightened.
The touch of it is poison. When it finishes closing around you like a cocoon, it will crush you, or the poison of it will kill you.
Kalin grabbed the sleeve of Zed's robes, panic in her eyes. We have to go back. We have to get it off him. Zed pulled his arm free.
Well, of course we do. We'll find the drawing and erase it.
I know where the sacred caves are,
Kalin offered as she grabbed hold of her saddle and put a foot in the stirrup. The wizard turned to retrieve his horse.
We don't have any time to waste. Let's go.
No,
Richard said. They all turned back to stare at him.
Richard, we have to, Kalin said.
She's right, my boy. There's no other way.
No!
He looked at their startled faces.
That's what they want us to do.
You said the artist couldn't spell you or Kalin, so he did it to me, thinking that would get us all back. The box is too important. We can't take the risk. He looked to Kalin. You just tell me where these caves are, and Zed, you tell me how to erase the spell.
Kalin grabbed the reins of her horse and Richard's, pulling them forward.
Zed and Chase can protect the box. I'm going with you.
No, you're not. I'm going alone. I have the sword to protect me.
The box is all that matters. It is our first responsibility. We must protect it above all else. Just tell me where the caves are and how to fix the spell. When I'm finished, I'll catch up with you.
Richard, I think...
No! This is about stopping Dark and Rawl, not about any one of us. This is not a request, it's an order.
They straightened, Zed turning to Kalin.
Tell him where the caves are.
Kalin angrily handed the reins of her horse to Zed and snatched up a stick. She drew a map in the dirt of the road, pulling the stick along one of the lines she had drawn. This is the Calisidron, and here the bridge. This is the road, and here Tamarang and the castle. She drew the line of a road to the north of the city. Here, in these hills northeast of the city, there is a stream that runs between twin hills. They're about a mile south of a small bridge that crosses the stream. The twin hills have cliffs on the sides toward the stream. The sacred caves are in the cliff on the northeast side of the stream. That is where the artist draws his spells. Zed took the stick from her and broke off two finger-length pieces. He rolled one between his palms.
Here, this will erase the curse. Without seeing it, I can't tell you what part you must erase, but you should be able to figure it out. It's a drawing, and you will be able to make some sense of it. That is the whole purpose of a drawn spell. You must be able to make sense of it, or it won't work.
The stick Zed had rolled in his palms no longer felt like wood. It felt soft and tacky. Richard put it in his pocket. Zed rolled the other piece in his palms. He handed it to Richard. It, too, no longer a stick. This time it was black, almost like charcoal, but hard.
With this, the wizard said, you can draw on the spell and change it if you have to.
Change it how?
I can't tell you without seeing it. You'll have to use your own judgment. Now hurry, but I still think we should...
No, Zed. We all know what Dark and Rawl is capable of. The box is all that is important, not any one of us.
He shared a deep look with his old friend. Take care of yourself. And Kalin. He looked up to Chase. Get them to Michael. Michael will be able to protect the box better than we can alone. And don't hold back waiting for me. I'll catch up. Richard gave him a hard stare. If I don't want any of you coming back for me. You just get the box away from here. Understand?
Chase gave him a serious look. On my life.
He gave Richard brief instructions to find the Westland Army, up in the Rongshada. Richard looked to Kalin. Take care of Sedine.
Don't worry, I'll be back with you soon enough. Now get going.
Zed mounted his horse.